Inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Is your skin feeling tight, dry, or just meh? You might be missing a crucial step. Meet the Calming Mist Toner from Pharmaceris. With hyaluronic acid to hydrate and prebiotics to support your skin's barrier, just a few sprays after cleansing, balance your pH, and boost your skincare. Dermatologist developed and globally trusted, Pharmaceris is now on Amazon, only $14.99. Use promo code SKINMIST to save 20%. That's Pharmaceris, Pharmaceris.
I'm Matt Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Your car steering wheel could be a ticking time bomb. At least 24 people have died and many more injured because their airbags fired shrapnel at them upon inflating. Tens of millions of cars have been recalled. If you suffered cuts that required stitches, hearing or vision loss, or broken bones, please contact us today. You could be owed money for medical bills and other damages.
Morgan & Morgan. Visit us at badairbags.com for an office near you. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Two Israeli humanitarian groups said today for the first time Israel is carrying out a genocide in Gaza, where there are reports of children dying from malnourishment. Dr. Nick Maynard's a volunteer surgeon and says,
I saw multiple gunshot wounds inflicted on young teenage boys, sometimes as young as 11, 12, 13, who go to these food distribution points to get food for their starving families.
Today, President Trump disputed a claim from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that there is no starvation. The president discussed building food distribution centers. He met with British Prime Minister Keir Starmer as he continues his trip overseas. He's in Scotland, but in the U.S., a federal judge in Boston blocked his administration's plans to block funding for Planned Parenthood, writing it likely violates the Constitution. Football legend Deion Sanders revealed he's been treated for bladder cancer. The University of Colorado head coach urged people to get checked. This is ABC News. Thailand and Cambodia agreed to a ceasefire after 5 days of heavy fighting along a portion of their border that's been disputed for decades. At least 36 people were killed in this fighting. Hundreds of thousands had to flee. ABC's Britt Clennett at the foreign desk says President Trump applied pressure by threatening to cancel trade talks with both sides.
I just spoke with a Cambodian official who gave praise to Trump for what he described as bringing about peace. On Monday, the leaders of both countries, they shook hands with each other after holding face-to-face talks for the first time since the conflict first began 5 days ago, with both sides blaming each other for firing first, then pounding each other with airstrikes and rocket attacks.
Major League Baseball placed a second Cleveland Guardians pitcher on leave amid a gambling investigation. It's Emmanuel Clase. Luis Ortiz was already on leave. Our partners at ESPN say it's because of an unusual gambling activity over two pitches he threw. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Oh, I love this scene.
Yeah, man. I bet we could pull off a street race like this.
Dude, totally.
Hey, you know this is just a movie, right?
Whoa, what?
You try this in real life, you could kill someone, or even yourself.
Life's not like the movies. Avoid a life-changing consequence and slow down, because this is one disaster you can't outrun. Speeding catches up with you. A message presented by NHTSA.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ailey. No comment from Attorney General Josh Call on whether he'll join the Democratic primary race for governor. Call says it's important to reflect on the last 6.5 years in Wisconsin.
When Governor Evers took office, our state was moving in a very different direction with attacks on workers' rights, attacks on teachers, and that has fundamentally shifted over the past 6.5 years. And I've been proud to work with Governor Evers.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley have both announced plans to enter the Democratic primary race following Governor Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term. On the Republican side, Wisconsin's 7th District Congressman Tom Tiffany tells WSAU Wausau's Meg Ellefson show to expect a decision on him running for governor soon.
We're not going to keep the suspense going on well into the fall. We're going to decide in the next 30 to 60 days whether to run for governor or not.
Tiffany suggests there's precedent for his run.
Tony Earle, back in the early 80s, was defeated by Tommy Thompson. So, you know, maybe we need another Tom to follow a Tony.
Tiffany's in his third term representing the heavily Republican district in northwest Wisconsin. Republicans Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and businessman Bill Berrien are already in the race. A bill to create a task force to prevent violence against black women was reintroduced at the Capitol Friday.
Madison Democratic Representative Sheila Stubbs says it's vital that Wisconsin lawmakers step up and do something to stem the tide of violence. Stubbs and Wausau Republican Representative Pat Snyder want to create a 17-person task force to research and collect data to find the best way to protect black women. The bill passed the state assembly last year, but was blocked in the Senate by a Republican lawmaker who is no longer in the legislature. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Not all soils are created equal. To a farmer, that's nothing new. Different parts of your field yield differently. Advertising shares a lot of similarities. There are more choices than ever about where to put your advertising dollars. A recent survey shows farmers rely on radio for their ag news almost five times as much as social media. To use another metaphor, farm radio is the best soil for planting those seeds of advertising. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny, hot, and humid today. High temperatures scraping the low 90s and really feeling more like the upper 90s. And winds are barely moving, too. And tonight, overnight, showers and storms move through, and some could be strong to severe, bringing hail and high winds. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 86.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you with us as always as we take a look at what's happening across farming, ranching, and rural America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, there's a potential for a significant severe weather event across parts of the upper Midwest on Monday into Tuesday. DTN meteorologist John Baranek is going to give us the latest details on that coming up here in just a little bit. After the bottom of the hour, it's a story that really, it kind of came and went, but it's a very important one centering around agroterrorism and the Chinese scientists, researchers that were arrested at the University of Michigan about a month or so ago. We're going to talk about this. Broadcast journalist Steve Gruber is in Michigan. He did some reporting on the issue, and we're going to welcome him to the show for a conversation coming up in segment three. And we'll take a look at Ag News headlines to close things out here in segment four of today's AOA. Let's get things started and talk markets. Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, hope you had a nice weekend. Thanks for joining us again.
I appreciate you having me on again, Jesse. It was a good weekend, a nice, hot, late summer weekend, just as it normally is. And I hope you had a good weekend as well.
I did have a good weekend. I partook in the Happy Gilmore 2 mm-hmm. that I'm sure a lot of folks watched over the weekend mm-hmm. who were Happy Gilmore fans. And, you know, tried to stave myself off from the heat as much as possible. And, you know, that, I think that's a good starting point for us to talk weather and the heat and more. And I know you wrote about this over the weekend for mm-hmm. Bar Chart. The talk of, do we have a pollination problem in the corn crop? And I know that is, I believe to your line, it's been the soup du jour here mm-hmm. in the markets as of late, Darren.
It has. I mean, you know, most of the industry likes to grab hold of these things. Anything that could be possibly perceived as bullish. And even if it's not bullish, it could be twisted into something bullish because the old mantra is, you know, for much of the industry is everything is always bullish. But it's been the major talking point. As I was on the road a little bit last week, it kept coming up. Folks were sending me stories, they were sending me video clips and all this. My answer to this is, what is the market telling us? is there a pollination problem with the United States? And you can read my full piece on the bar chart, as you mentioned. I appreciate that. My answer is maybe. We don't know. What we do know is that the percent covered of calculated full commercial carry by both the March, May, and May, July lessened last week. So this tells us, yes, there's a little bit of a, you know, open interest and trade volume issue, but what it tells us in the big picture is that the commercial side of the market is taking note of a longer term change in supply and demand. Now, is this due to pollination problems, reducing potential production numbers and all of this? Yeah, that could be a part of it. Or it could also be the idea that we're going to see increased demand. We've heard all this talk about how ethanol demand is going to get stronger, how, you know, export demand is going to stay strong going into the new year. And we have been seeing some sales for 2025-26. And the next card to play, you know, remember, it's a three-legged stool for demand. Also, feed demand. Now, we keep getting all of these government cattle numbers and so on and so forth. And we had the cattle inventory come out, I think it was last Friday. Mm-hmm. Showing a slight increase in cows and calves. Heifers and calves. So it's going to get interesting. It could either be on the supply side, it could be either be on the demand side, or it's possibly both, but we don't know. What we do know is that there's not a huge problem now, that the market's still convinced that there's going to be plenty of production, plenty of supplies available during harvest.
No, it's a great point. And since you brought up cattle, another piece you sent me on Monday morning, looking at this cattle complex, are we at a tipping point potentially? And it's something that we talked about so much over the last several months. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand in this cattle market? You know, it's tough to understand, I think, because when we think the market's gonna tip over and pull back, then it rallies again, and it's been doing this ad nauseum for several weeks.
It has. I mean, you're right, weeks, months, some would argue years, that we've been getting these sell signals or these signals of topping out, and then the market finds buyers and it goes right back up. Now, you know, I like to apply, and one of the things I didn't talk about in the piece, but one thing we could apply here is rule 4A, a market that can't go down won't go down. And that certainly seems to be what's been happening. But as we look at, particularly at the live cattle market, what we're seeing is increased commercial pressure. We're seeing basis weaken. We're seeing future spreads. We're seeing nearby contracts losing ground to deferred. So there is this thread. There is this consistency of some commercial pressure, all while the non-commercial side continues to add to its long futures position and influencing its net long futures position. So the issue that I see is that we're getting this divergence in the market between the commercial and non-commercial activity, with the funds getting close to holding record large long futures. And that may be an unsustainable position if we continue to see pressure come in the cash market. Boxed beef is just collapsing. I think I wrote that the choice market's down 7% just from the end of July, and the select is down 10%. Now, some of this is seasonal. Some of it could be indicating that U.S. consumers have finally hit their tipping point in this market. They just can't afford to continue to go out and buy as much beef, high-priced beef, as they've been doing before. So there's a lot of things at play, because if the boxed beef market collapses, it's going to affect the cash market, which will then affect basis, which will then affect futures. So, you know, it could be this chain of events that happens, or rule 4A, market that can't go down won't go down. We find a reason for this market to stay higher. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. Market that can't go down won't go down. Darren, I'm going to segue back to the grains here for final thoughts. We've got about 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. A little pressure early in the week in the grain trade. You mentioned funds. I know we track them in the grain markets and more. What else stands out to you? What are you watching this week?
It's a couple things. One, it's weather. We saw the rains, you know, last week, this past week, we saw the wet rains that were expected. Now this week, you know, it was supposed to just stay hot and dry across parts of the Midwest. We'll see if that plays out. And as far as from a long-term investment point of view, the key number to me is in Dease corn, the June settlement of 425.5. A close above that could trigger some buy orders from, again, the non-commercial side based on some technical factors. So, you know, really doesn't matter what happens between now and the end of July, this coming Thursday. What will matter, what will stand out, is where Dease 25 is priced at Thursday's close.
It's going to be interesting to watch. Crude also up a little over 1%. Any thoughts there real quick, Darren?
No, I think we're going to continue to see a lot of choppiness in the energy sector. We'll get these types of bounces, but then, you know, again, it just can't seem to find any follow through. And before too long, market comes back down. And we're still in that time of year where there's really no push, no seasonal push for buyers to come in.
You can go to DarrenNewsom.com for more information. Senior market analyst at Bar Chart, Darren Newsom. Always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us again this week on the show.
All right. Appreciate you having me on, Jesse.
Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart with us here on AOA. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the weather outlook for this week ahead, and especially for Monday. A significant risk of severe weather and possibly a derecho event in the upper Midwest. DTN meteorologist John Baranek will be with us for the latest details. Coming up next on AOA, back after this.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DCA3. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on today's Agriculture of America, let's talk weather. We do have a pretty significant risk of severe weather to start the week across parts of the upper Midwest. We've been seeing rounds of severe weather and heavy rainfall and more. Plus, we got all this heat that is still continuing to hang around many parts of the eastern and southern U.S. Let's talk about it. And joining us now for an update, DTN meteorologist John Moranek. John, good to talk with you again. Hope you had a nice weekend. And sounds like another busy forecasting day for you and others here to kick off the week, John.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it was hot and humid. I enjoyed, I can't say enjoyed. It was terrible. It was upper 80s, near 90 degrees and dew points in the mid 70s. It was absolutely horrible, even all the way up here in Minnesota. But, you know, some of us got a nice reprieve with a little front that kind of sunk south into the Corn Belt and produced some showers and kept temperatures down at least a little bit. But, man, I mean, the heat's been kind of the big story for the last week. But you know, we've gotten a lot of rainfall to go along with it. I mean, you look across really almost the entire Corn Belt has seen some sort of shower, over the last 7 days. I mean, there's a few pockets here and there that haven't, but, you know, there's been some relief to this heat. And we're going to get another big one coming through here this week, but this one's going to come with some fanfare. We've got, kind of a front draped across South Dakota and Minnesota. And that's all fine and dandy, but, we've got this disturbance that's going to ride along it here this afternoon and really going to tap into that heat and humidity south of that front and, produce some significant, severe weather. We've already got some stronger storms in Montana and North Dakota this morning, that models are doing a pretty poor job of grabbing onto, already. So we'll see how this all develops. But, I mean, the Storm Prediction Center is targeting kind of eastern South Dakota into southwest Minnesota and kind of the surrounding area for some stronger storms here later today and this evening. That may shift around a little bit. We'll have to see kind of how all this develops. But that does look like a very prime area for getting something very strong to occur. It would be most likely to be one of these mesoscale convective systems and MCS, you know, these big lines, Boeing storms moving through. And unfortunately, that does line up with some pretty good shear up in the upper levels, which organizes these storms and also contributes to some significant wind gusts. You know, we're talking 75 mile an hour plus wind gusts, hurricane force wind gusts. And if we get this thing to develop here, that could turn into, you know, that dreaded D word derecho for these areas. So that moderate risk, if you haven't looked at it yet, extends from eastern South Dakota into southwest Minnesota. Some of the enhanced area around it could be at risk for that as well, and we'll just have to see how it works out. But you know, this is the time of year when a derecho could cause significant damage, more so than at any other time, just because of how far along crops are right now. You know, we saw this happen 5 years ago in Iowa. I mean, it was probably a week later. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was August 10th and 11th. So we're about 10 days prior to that. But these same ideas are still out there as a significant risk. You know, it's widespread wind damage, and it could happen to some crops that may not be able to recover.
It's important to essentially stay weather aware as a lot of this unfolds and develops, and watch this as it works through, John. And you mentioned it, kind of tapping into this heat and more. And we know that heat and humidity, everything can really fuel these massive supercell storms or these bow echo lines, et cetera, et cetera. It's prime fuel and prime ingredients for severe weather.
It sure is. I mean, all that is energy. Temperature is energy. Actually, humidity is energy, because when that turns into clouds and rainfall, heat is released from that. So you combine that with the temperature and everything just kind of explodes with that. So the hotter you are, the more humid you are, the more fuel you have for thunderstorms moving through. And when you get some sort of kickoff in the atmosphere to really ignite those thunderstorms and organize them, you have some significant risk for that becoming severe and causing widespread damage. Today is definitely the worst of the days here, Jesse. But this front is going to be sweeping through the entire country here this week. So we may be talking about some other areas as well. Like I said, the other areas later this week probably don't have the same risk as we have today. across South Dakota and Minnesota, but we could still have some severe weather and some heavy rainfall and some flooding potential as this front works through, eliminates our heat wave, finally gets rid of it, and we can finally say goodbye to it. Although, you know, you down in Tennessee or anybody else down there in the Southeast, eliminating the heat doesn't really mean eliminating the heat, right? It's still going to be hot down there. But for some of us up north, it's actually going to be pretty cool. Temperatures in the 70s are forecast here for the Dakotas, Minnesota. And I think even parts of Nebraska might only be able to reach 80 degrees for a high on a couple of days. So it's going to be very comfortable. The humidity will come down quite a bit after this front gets through.
They're calling for a high of 82 in the Middle Tennessee, Nashville area later this week. And compared to what we have seen, I'll take it. I think it's been 25 or 26 straight days of 90 degrees plus as a high temperature in my neck of the woods here, John. But to the point about the heat, are we going to see a break in this heat beyond what you mentioned? Is it going to be prolonged? How long could this really last? Is it something that it's going to be a week, 2 weeks, a couple days, you know, because we know we still got a lot of summer left. And so are we going to be in kind of a rinse and repeat weather pattern? Could this heat just come right back here as we get into August?
It could, but you know what, Jesse, I think the upper level picture is kind of favorable for it not to, as we get into early to mid August, at least. Now the models have been not good, and we've talked about that a little bit already, beyond that kind of 2 week time frame. And usually what we look for is kind of the upper level picture to give us an idea of what the surface weather is going to be. And it's been okay at best at that, but it hasn't been very great. But what we're seeing in the upper level maps is, you know, the heat ridge, it's an upper level ridge of high pressure that's kind of been over the eastern half of the country. And it's really taken over most areas here today, east of the Rockies. That's going to continually shift its way westward as we get into August. So getting into the plains this week, by next week, it looks like it's going to be in the Rockies in the west. And that's where the heat is going to kind of set up. So we stay in a more variable pattern. We may even have some cooler days going into early August there for a lot of us, and you know, keeping the heat away for at least an extended period. You know, I'm not hugely confident on how that's going to play out for the rest of August, but at least the setup on where this ridge is, where we would expect the heat to be, is off in the west. And you know, we might have some hotter days. It might get into the upper 80s or lower 90s in some areas, but the extreme heat and humidity that we've seen over the last week, and we'll continue to see until this front comes through this week, that looks like it's going to be on its way out.
John, as we look across the rest of the country or around the world, final thoughts from you. We got about 90 seconds. What else are you tracking this week?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into August, right? So a lot of things are starting to get made. You know, you talk about small grains and winter wheat and stuff, and that's largely, or even spring wheat. A lot of that stuff is pretty much, you know, coming to a close here, and folks are thinking about harvest already in parts of the Northern Plains and even the Canadian prairies and other parts of the world where they have winter and spring grains. So that's going to continue to march on. Our weather is going to start to become less and less important as we move on. But, you know, for corn and soybeans here, we still got a long ways to go, Jesse. And we got to, like I said, models have not been good at predicting the weather this summer. So we'll have to see how this all still plays out, how much severe weather occurs. Do we continue to see rainfall, or does it kind of slacken off a bit and we start developing some dry pits, even if it's not super hot? So there's still a lot of things that can go on here, especially with corn and soybeans, and for most of the Corn Belt yet. You look at other parts of the world, and it's you know, less of an issue. And outside of the Black Sea region, where it's been kind of hot and dry for a lot of areas, for corn especially, we'll see how that kind of turns the balance sheet around a little bit. And, you know, not too long, Jesse, and we'll start to look at South America again becoming important. You know, they'll start planting in about 6 weeks down there. So it's going to come up pretty soon here.
Very, very true. Well, folks can go to DTNPF.com for more information. DTN meteorologist John Baranek, always good to talk with you, John. Thanks for being with us again this week.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on again, Jesse. Everybody stay safe out there this week.
Definitely stay weather aware. DTNPF.com for more information. One quick note, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family and loved ones of Leah Biondo, the former executive vice president for the U.S. Cattlemen's Association and Western Sky Strategies. She passed away suddenly last week in a horse riding accident. And I worked with Leah a little bit. Definitely a great advocate for agriculture who was lost too soon. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Hi there, it's Scott from Pentatonix. So from the beginning of our journey in music, the foundation has been music education. It's so incredibly important that we continue to show kids the importance of music in our schools, in our homes, and even in the car. Music is such a powerful expression of emotion and individuality, and we are responsible for keeping the love for music alive. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 7 to 1730, September up 25 to 1780, October up 23 to 1832, November up 7 at 1830. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move higher with triple-digit gains due to last week's bullish cattle on feed report, or that the mid-year cattle inventory shows no signs of herd build-back, and the steady to $2 higher in the Fed cash cattle markets also helping, although the markets under the uptick in boxed beef prices. Hog markets, however, are again skating sideways today. It'll be imperative that demand remains strong this week if traders will be successful to advance the contracts past those resistance levels. August live cattle up $1.85 to $228.32. August feeder cattle up $2.65 to $334.02. And August hogs down 15 cents to $108.55. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans continue to move mostly lower. The favorable weather forecast continues to pressure corn and beans lower. There are some areas too wet and in some areas too dry, but overall, the vast majority of the U.S. corn and soybean crop, it looks pretty good, and farmers are saying crops are doing well for the most part. The forecast calls for cooler temperatures by midweek as well. Wheat markets, though, they're moving mostly higher on some short covering. New crop corn down 5.5 to 4.13.5. New crop beans down 9.5 to 10.11.5. September wheat up 1.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA. Mallofamerica.com.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. Well, right now, let's discuss the topic of agroterrorism amid those Chinese scientists who were arrested at the University of Michigan here a little over a month ago with that toxic fungus that could have brought immense harm to the U.S. food supply. Joining us is broadcast journalist and host of the Steve Gruber Show, Steve Gruber. He did a lot of work covering this. Steve, thanks for joining us for this important conversation.
Well, Jesse, I really appreciate you being here. It's a really important topic, and I think that, you know, it's not getting near enough coverage because we spend our time talking about social media posts and other nonsense. There's a lot of noise out there that distracts us from things that are really important, and I think this is one of those things.
I couldn't agree more. It's something that I feel like we heard so much about it for a few days, and then it just kind of disappeared from the news cycle. But this whole topic of agroterrorism and more, it is very disturbing to think about. And I think for starters, just get folks up to speed on some of the things you uncovered as you looked at this entire case of these Chinese researchers at the University of Michigan, Steve.
Well, you know, the bigger picture is really the entanglement of China in American agriculture as a whole. I mean, the Silk and Road Initiative has its tentacles into countries all over the world. Maybe no more so than America. And that includes the 400,000 acres of Chinese farmland you hear about. It's China owning Smithfield, one of the biggest meatpacking companies in America. I think they bought it about 2013. And what that means to people here, Jesse, is that today in America, of the 80 million hogs, give or take, that are alive in the country today, about 25% of those are owned by China because they're owned by Smithfield by extension. So you think about that control. You think about the fact that Syngenta is a seed company based in China. So your seed for corn, wheat, beans, rice, whatever it may be, a lot of your seed is originating in China. So I bring this all to people's attention so they understand that China's interest in American agriculture is not a passing interest. The Chinese Communist Party, to me, is the most dangerous entity on the planet to all of us because they want complete control of everything. They don't just look at Taiwan as a rogue province. They look at the United States as a rogue province because they have this saying, and I can't say it in Mandarin, but it's everything under heaven is Chinese. And they truly believe that. I think it's just a matter of time before they plant their flag everywhere. And so with that in mind, you have these University of Michigan students, researchers, that are arrested on the way into the country with this fungus, right? And look, we have fungicides out there today that are very effective. But as I talked to real farmers on the ground, they said right now they've got that fungus on their properties, but it's manageable because they have these fungicides. But for the sake of argument, play this out. They come here with fungus to try to figure out how to make it more virulent. And at the same time, these researchers that go back and forth to China are over in China working to make their plants more fungus resistant when America is not doing the same. You see, China's running this game on America every day, and we don't realize it. We don't realize that China really thinks that we're at war, and they do believe that. America's, we have this binary idea that either we're at war or we're not. It's not really the way it works. It's like a new Cold War, if you will. So China, for the sake of argument, let's say they're developing, because we've done this, you know, Michigan State, Ohio State, Texas A&M, pick your college that is studying agriculture on a big way. We have created the most pest-resistant, drought-resistant crops in human history. We produce more crops today per acre with less energy than at any time in human history, and that's important. But if you could knock out half of the American crop, and I got this from Mark Benjamin, was the farmer's name. He turns a couple thousand acres, Southern Michigan. Not a big operation, but not small either. He said it could wipe out half the corn crop if this got loose, and that'd be the first time out. He said, if you had that happen 2 years in a row, you would face famine. And it's not just America that would face the penalty of failed crops, because we export about 25 or 30% of our grain overseas. And the place that would get hurt worse first would be sub-Saharan Africa, countries like South Africa, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Namibia, because they rely on American grain to feed their people. Right? So you look at this, but China's best way to power is, if you can't beat America militarily and it's taking too long politically, if you take the food away,
yep,
you can make a population compliant. And the other part about this, and I want you to think about this, because most I would never have thought of this, but these farmers I spoke to pointed this out. If you can force American crops to fail, it means that the ground they sit on is worthless. And, you know, right now in Indiana, for example, an acre of good corn ground goes from $12,000 to $15,000 an acre, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if suddenly that land is worth nothing, you've got a big problem. One of those farmers pointed out to me that the average house in America sits on a piece of dirt that's worth about $58,000 in the mortgage on average, right? If suddenly that land is only worth $1,000 because the land that it's sitting on where they built subdivisions and cornfields and wheat fields is no longer worth anything, you've created a banking crisis now because suddenly the banks are holding up a lot of worthless paper. So if you ruin the crops, you ruin land value. If you ruin land value, you wreck the banks. If you wreck the banks, you wreck the economy. And right on down the line, the dominoes fall. So really, this fungus should be top of mind for Donald Trump, the Trump administration, the Ag Secretary, the Health and Human Services Secretary. Everybody should be paying attention to this because this is the most dangerous thing I've seen. The people are like, yeah, that's a big deal. It's a bigger deal than you realize. It's a bigger deal than a COVID virus or anything else. You take away the food. You want compliant people? Get hungry people. And I think that's the game we're looking at here, Jesse.
Well, and you sum that up perfectly. And I think it speaks to this term that is very true. Food security is national security. And we're seeing some of that reaction already from this administration, from Secretary Rollins at USDA, and from Congress. You know, a lot of this talk about trying to stop Chinese ownership of U.S. farmland, for instance, and all these different things. So it seems like we're getting traction here the last several years on Capitol Hill, and especially the last several months. But it almost sounds like we need to do more,
Steve. Well, we certainly do need to do more. I mean, you look at how the Biden administration handled bird flu. Look, it's flu. Bird flu isn't new. It doesn't generally kill your flock, but they came and they exterminated millions of birds. Tens of millions of birds across the country. Drove the price of eggs up. We all know about that. It was in the headlines every day. Yep. So once again, you end up with something in your food system that creates problems. Also today, we have fewer cows on the hoof than we've had since 1951. In 1951, the population of the United States was 151 million people. Less than half of what it is today. And we have fewer cows alive today to go to market, to become hamburgers and steak and whatever else. Since 1951, that should also be a red flag to people. I mean, what if something gets into your domestic beef supply? And this is all. And look, when they're out there, and they being those that are the Green New Dealers, oh, you know, the biggest enemy of America is sunshine and cows. Really, sunshine and cows. This is the flag they're flying. We must get rid of it. I mean, I see Tedros, the guy in charge of the United Nations, out there saying, agriculture contributes to 35% of climate change. We must fix this. Right. Stop eating and we can fix this climate change. I mean, this is the nonsense that they're peddling every single day while they fly around the world in their private jets, wagging their fingers at us, John Kerry and his bony finger being waved at you and I, when the fact of the matter is sunshine is good. Cows are good. Whether they flatulate or not doesn't really matter. They're good for the planet. Agriculture is good for the planet, and they want to attack it every step of the way. Look, America is the cleanest, greenest, most industrialized nation on Earth, and we do a better job than anybody. Leave us out of the conversation. You want to go clean up India? Do that. You want to clean up China? Please do that. You want to clean up some of these African countries? Do that. Leave us out of the conversation. But this is all part of the game, and it's a globalist game. Because, look, China invest money in Argentina, in Central America, in Mexico, in Canada. Their money is everywhere. And so when it comes to going after America and peddling these, you know, it's propaganda, whether it's COVID or the Green New Deal, you know who pays that bill? China does. Oh, cows are bad. Oh, you should have more of a plant-based diet. In fact, we want you to eat crickets. I'll eat a turtle, Jesse, before I start eating exoskeletons of crickets, just for the record. I just want to be clear about that. The crickets, it ain't what's for dinner, all right? Let's just be straight up about that, yeah.
You know, and I love when folks bring the cow emissions argument to me. Oh, yeah, said, make my day on that one. Let's talk about that. And, you know, for me, beef, it's what's for dinner, or pork or chicken or something else. I'll pass on the crickets to myself. Right. Steve, final thoughts here. What should producers, what should farmers and ranchers be thinking about right now in terms of all of this going on, this potential with agroterror and more, what should they keep in perspective?
Look, I've been on farms and ranches my whole life. I'm connected with the agricultural community of this country. Situational awareness has never been more important than it is right now. Because if Chinese agents, and look, to be a student in America as a Chinese citizen, you have to pledge your allegiance to the Chinese Communist Party. It's everybody knows that. It's in writing. It's part of what you do to come here. So if your allegiance is the Chinese Communist Party and you come here and you're going to infiltrate agriculture, they don't even have to come to your farm, Jesse, and put out the fungus. They've got 400,000 acres of their own. And if that pathogen gets up into the jet stream, well, that's how that. And then all of a sudden you've got Iowa's out, Missouri's out, Illinois's out, and it sweeps, you know, west to east across the country. I would say to farmers, be aware. Be very aware. And look, I go back to Syngenta. I'm not suggesting Syngenta seeds are anything except that they're owned by the Chinese. I would suggest buying American seeds. I would suggest trusting American companies and American neighbors. I mean, I really mean that, because why would I trust seeds made in China, pathogens made in China? Why would I trust the Chinese doing research here in America? I don't trust any of that. We need to protect, because you said it exactly right. Food security is national security for this country. It's incredibly important. It's more important today because we've become aware of it. And there should be stiff penalties. And I'm talking about life in prison type penalties if you try to poison America's food supply.
Well, we're out of time in this segment. Broadcast journalist Steve Gruber, thanks for joining us to talk about agroterrorism, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll be back with more here on Agriculture of America right after this.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-885-9700. 800-885-9700. That's 800-885-9700.
Hey, it's Crash Gladys from Speed Freaks. Are you still paying full price for gas? Stop leaving money behind. Get real cash back every time you fill up with the free Upside app. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash at the pump today. Use limited time promo code SUMMER and get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Listeners are making $200 to $300 a year just from buying the gas they already needed. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code SUMMER to redeem your 25 cent per gallon bonus. That's promo code SUMMER. Yeah, at first I thought it was too good to be true, but it's completely legit. Plus, you can cash out anytime. Don't let this offer drive on by. Download the free Upside app now by using limited time promo code SUMMER. That's promo code SUMMER for a limited time 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
D-Lab Winders, just a reminder, if you're feeling low, you're not alone. Life can get tough and we all need a hand sometimes. Don't be afraid to talk to someone, even if it's just to get things off your chest. You have to take care of yourself so you can take care of business. Remember, there's no shame in asking for help. You've got people who care about you. Reach out if you need to, and check in on those you care about too. We're all in this together. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. with the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255. You need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
My neighbor invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, critics are speaking out and decrying the reorganization plan for USDA announced last week by Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins. Welcome back to AOA. So we take a look at news headlines in a written statement. Democratic ranking member of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, condemned the plan as a, quote, half-baked proposal, end quote, and called for USDA officials to appear before Congress, saying, quote, a reorganization of this scale will impact USDA's ability to provide critical services to Americans and undermine the agency's trusted expertise that farmers and families count on. We must have an immediate hearing before more damage is done, end quote. Now, it appears, according to the Senate schedule, that hearing is going to happen on Wednesday in the Russell Senate Office Building on Capitol Hill with USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden as the witness. We'll be watching for more details from that hearing here this week. Other critics speaking out on the USDA plan, Rebecca Wolf, senior policy analyst at Food and Water Watch, a nonprofit research and advocacy group, said, quote, the move further guts the government's ability to protect public health, the environment, and food safety. The real-world consequences will be severe, directly affecting people's lives, end quote. Now, the reorganization is at least partly a cost-cutting measure, according to Secretary Rollins, and the relocated staff could see significant salary reductions due to lower rates paid outside the Capitol due to differences in the cost of living. Now, the plans are for 5 regional hubs to be established in Raleigh, North Carolina, Kansas City, Missouri, Indianapolis, Indiana, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Salt Lake City, Utah, as the department wants to reduce its workforce in the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia from some 4,600 to less than 2,000. The department will also reportedly maintain administrative support locations in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, along with agency service centers in St. Louis, Missouri, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Missoula, Montana, according to a memorandum signed by Rollins. Meanwhile, USDA Farm Production Undersecretary nominee Richard Fordyce agreed at his Senate confirmation hearing to tackle key issues that directly impact producers. Fordyce told Kansas Senator Roger Marshall he's willing to look at the 75% farm income requirement to qualify for farm payments.
The AGI limit is $900,000
Well, in most programs, I think it's $900,000 adjusted gross income. And but yes, absolutely, be happy to, if confirmed, to work with you and your staff to understand, I guess maybe understand the issue maybe just a little better.
Fordyce also agreed to follow up on his efforts as FSA chief in the first Trump administration to modernize farm data collection.
The one farmer, one form was just, I guess, me thinking about like what could be something that was short and maybe got to the point. So we started to work on that a little bit in the first Trump administration, didn't quite get it to the finish line from a modernizing acreage reporting standpoint.
Fordyce suggested the next step could be paperless real-time digital reporting for precision ag farmers.
My hope would be is that as a farmer is planting his or her crop, that they are actually populating an acreage report as they're progressing through planting season. I mean, that would be fantastic.
Fordyce calls such technology modernization priority one, and not just for acreage reporting, but for now unreliable reporting of foreign buys of U.S. farmland. Meanwhile, as we watch trade, of course, the U.S. and the European Union announcing their trade agreement on Sunday, as President Trump called it, the biggest of all deals during a joint news conference with European Commission head Ursula von der Leyen in Scotland. Trump said the 27-member EU has agreed to purchase $750 billion worth of energy and $600 billion worth of investments in the United States. No word on what the trade deal would mean for agriculture. Those details have not yet been released. But as more trade deal frameworks get announced, the U.S. and Canada, they're working to come together on a trade agreement still, and negotiations are continuing. One thing that may come as a surprise is that the U.S. and Canada's top agriculture officials haven't spoken yet. Heath McDonald, Canada's Minister of Agriculture and Agri-Food, says he hasn't spoken with U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
No, I haven't. And it's something that we need to do, but we need the right time, too. I mean, there's a lot going on. We had the G7. We wanted to wait. And then we received the letter on the 35%. So it's timing and be addressed, obviously. But I think we need to be very strategic when we do this.
He said it's important for Canadian ag officials to be on the same page when they finally sit down to talk.
It's a very fragile time in the trade, so I don't want to disrupt any more than anyone else, but I want to make sure that I have all my ideas and strategies settled before I make that attempt.
Again, Heath McDonald is Canada's Minister of Agriculture. Well, Canadian Federal Trade Minister Dominic LeBlanc is doubtful that a security and economic framework agreement can be reached in time to meet President Donald Trump's August 1st deadline. Trump's letter sent a few weeks back threatened Canada with 35% tariffs, but the White House also stated that those levies would not be applied to Canadian imports that are compliant under the USMCA. Now, Canada is currently being hit with import tariffs on steel, aluminum, and automobiles, and expects to be impacted by copper duties as well. Trade Minister LeBlanc told reporters that negotiations are continuing, but the American and Canadian discussions are extremely complex because there is no other arrangement that is similar to the U.S.-Canada relationship.
The Canadian-American economic and security relationship is unique. There is no comparator with other countries. The way the trading and security relationship between our countries has evolved, that's why these are complicated conversations. We're only going to be in a position to accept a deal when the Prime Minister decides that it's the best deal we can get.
Now, Canadian officials have remained quiet about what American negotiators want from Canada. A recent U.S.-Japan agreement included a $550 billion Japanese investment pledge. When LeBlanc was asked if his discussions included promises of capital investment by Canada, he would only say that Canada would openly welcome the opportunity to display its current U.S. investments, which will lead to future investments.
If they're looking for countries that invest massively in the United States, that's great news for Canada. Our pension funds alone have over $1 trillion of investment in the United States, can potentially grow by $100 billion or more a year. That example repeats itself all over the place. So if one of the objectives is to show the United States administration that Canadians are investing in the United States, we're in a very good position.
Once again, Dominic LeBlanc is Canada's federal trade minister. That's news headlines. We're out of time here on AOA. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk more trade with Kent Backus from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We'll hear from Rob Fox with CoBank and Markets with Don Rose from U.S. Commodities. For now, thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope. Oh.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived? Maybe.
Do you know how America became the best country on God's green earth? We made things, from automobiles to airplanes to textiles. We were the manufacturing epicenter of the world, the innovators that every other country turned to. I'm Katie Lyon, co-founder of Allegiance Flag Supply, and I'm here to tell you that the American spirit is alive and well at Allegiance, where we make American flags 100% in America. When you fly your American flag from Allegiance Flag Supply, you're not just honoring our country. You're supporting American men and women who proudly make the highest quality American flags, period. True patriots who put care into every stitch. See our full story at showallegiance.com and learn about our 100% American-based supply chain. Fly your flag from showallegiance.com with pride, because every flag says manufacturing is still alive and well in the U.S. and we are still the greatest country. Visit showallegiance.com, and from all of us, thank you for your support.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN. Durand, Mondovi, Wabashaw, and 3N7CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Attorneys for Ghislaine Maxwell asked the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn her conviction. The longtime companion of Jeffrey Epstein says a deal Epstein reached with prosecutors nearly two decades ago should shield her as well. ABC's Jay O'Brien explains the